2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those that have obtained the same precious faith with us in the righteousness of our God and the Saviour Jesus Christ. So our faith is the most precious thing that we have, far more precious than any worldly possession, than wealth or things that we have. The most precious thing is that we are in Christ and have the hope of eternal life in God's kingdom. Grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So the more you know God, the more you're in relationship with him, the greater is your grace and peace. Seeing that his divine power has given to us all things that relate to life and godliness through the precise knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, whereby he has granted to us his precious and exceedingly great promises. So there you are again, precious. When we're baptized, the promises made to Abraham and the Jewish fathers that they would inherit the earth and live there forever, these are made to us. And these are the promises of the kingdom, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. So then, if you've got that great hope in front of you, if you know that I'm going to live forever, then you will not be corrupted by the lust and all the passions that there are in this world. Yes, and for this very cause, you on your part should show all diligence. To your faith, add virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to your knowledge, self-control, and to your self-control, patience, and to your patience, reverence toward God, and to your reverence toward God, brotherly kindness, and to your brotherly kindness, love. So you see how, in Peter's thought, just like in Paul's, love, especially of your brothers, is the highest thing that you can get. And that is the path that the Christian life leads us on, to the final maturity of love. If these things are yours and abound, they make you to be neither idle nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he that lacks these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. So we sin and we're forgiven and we sort of appreciate that at the time, but it's easy to forget that we've been forgiven. Now, although we don't have to keep on dwelling on our sins at all, I did this wrong, oh, what a terrible guy I am, that's not the idea. But we should also remember that we have really been forgiven. And this, he says, is what helps you to see properly. If you forget that, then you're blind. Wherefore, brothers, give them more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied to you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Wherefore I shall be ready always to put you in remembrance of these things. You see, these people he was writing to, I think, are the people that Peter had baptized on the day of Pentecost. And he baptized thousands of people in one day. And yet now, years later, they'd been persecuted and they'd gone off into various places in what is now called Turkey. And they were starting to slip and forget these things. And he says, no, remember these things, though you know them and are established in the truth which is with you. And I think it right, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that the putting off of my tabernacle comes swiftly, even as our Lord Jesus Christ indicated to me. So then, by putting off his tabernacle or taking down his tent, he means his death. And it was Jesus, of course, who had told Peter that one day he would die a violent death, and he says he can feel it coming on. So then this life is just a tent, a temporary thing that you live in for a little while. And when you die, it's like it being taken down.
He died on a cross for really strongly bleed.
That's right, Jesus died bleeding on the cross.
All
absolutely.
Blood coming, then all the parts.
There would have been blood, that is right. And the fact that he did that for us means that we can never be the same again. And we cannot just do what we want to do. Yes, I will give diligence that at every time you may be able after my death to call these things to remembrance. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. I think he's talking about how Peter was present at the Transfiguration, that he's saying this is not just religion, this is not just clever ideas, this is absolute truth and reality. This is how he ends the first letter to Peter, where he says this is the true grace of God. This is real. This is not an idea. This is absolute reality. For he received from God the Father honour and glory, delivered to him by such a voice from the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice we heard, delivered out of heaven when we were with him on the holy mount. And we have the word of prophecy made yet more sure, to which you do well that you take heed as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the day star arises in your hearts. So then, God's word is like a light in the darkness. And everything that is not influenced by God's word is simply darkness, no matter how clever it seems in the eyes of the world. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation, for no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spoke from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. So the words you have in the Bible are not just the words of men. They wrote those words because the Holy Spirit moved them to write them. That's why the Bible is like no other book. This is the actual Word of God.